domarcih pomorče belih družin. Kako bo letos organizirana obramba pred točo?
Listke imam zelene in prav lepo dišim.
Ovogodišnji agrarni budžet nije ne izbliza u iznosu onom koji odgovara poljoprivredi.
Najbolj sam vesela, ko sam čeku zide.
If you are contaminated by Monsanto's GMOs, you no longer own your seeds or plants.
Najbolj pa sovražim, ko so in herbicide.
Kijavo!
Agroprogram
Radio Študent.
Pozdravljeni, pozdravljene, 4 tedni so mimo in poslušate oddajo Kilavo seme, oddajo o agropolitiki, vrtičkanju, skvotiranju in okolju. In kaj bomo slišali danes?
Danes bomo slišali nekaj o vplivu kmečkih influencerjev na percepcijo podeželja na Kitajskem. Na to se bomo pogovarjali z ženom iz organizacije Via Campesina, ki nam bo povedal nekaj o tem, kako ta deluje in katere kampanje so trenutno v središču pozornosti. Na koncu pa bomo slišali še poročilo iz tretje radikalne Črntrn veselice in nekaj napovedi. Pa začnimo!
Što sa zelenim otpadom?
Ja kompostiram.
Kompostira pa tudi kilavo seme.
Kmečki kitajski vplivneži preoblikujejo podobo podeželja.
Kitajsko podeželje že dolgo velja za sinonim revščine in zaostalosti. Sistem Hukou je od poznih 50-ih let socialne pravice povezoval s krajem rojstva in Kitajce razdelil med tako imenovane kmete in nekmete, s tem pa med njimi ustvaril oster razkorak.
Poskusi industrializacije so v poznih 50-ih in zgodnjih 60-ih večinoma kmetijski državi upustošili podeželske skupnosti in sprožili lakoto, ki zahtevala milijone življenj. Temu je sledila kulturna revolucija in z njo čistka intelektualnih krogov, kjer so izobraženi mladi na podeželje bili poslani na prevzgojo. Od 70-ih dalje se milijoni kmetov zaradi boljših priložnosti selijo v mesta. Leta 1980 je le 19% kitajskega prebivalstva živelo v mestih, do lani je ta številka narasla na 66.
Najpomembnejši mejnik pri razvijanju politike, usmerjene v podeželska območja, je bila ukinitev kmetijskih davkov leta 2006. Trenutno del revitalizacije podeželja pomeni vlaganje v spletne platforme in v podeželske e-trgovine, kar naj bi izoliranim kmetijskim skupnostim omogočalo povezovanje z urbanimi trgi. Preseljevanje na podeželje pa naj bi delno povzročila tudi kitajska gospodarska kriza po COVID-19. Zaznamovana z naraščujočo brezposelnostjo mladih in z zmanjšanimi priložnostmi v mestih, je spodbudila nekatere mlade, da iščejo preživetje na podeželju.
Medtem tisoče vplivnežev preko družbenih medijev preoblikuje dojemanje podeželja in ruši predhodne predstave o kitajskem vaškem življenju. Spremembo narativa spodbujajo in promovirajo tudi oblasti, saj se zelo prilega njihovi strategiji o revitalizaciji podeželja, ki je bila postavljena v ospredje nacionalne politike. Vplivneži, influencerji podeželsko Kitajsko prikazujejo kot avtentično, nostalgično, idilično zatočišče in kulturno središče. Prikazujejo rustikalni čar podeželske Kitajske, kisajo zelenjavo, kuhajo tradicionalno hrano, nabirajo čaje, obnavljajo hiše in se družijo v živahnih, a umirjenih podeželskih skupnostih. Kar se začelo kot preprosta dokumentacija, je postalo fenomen novega kmeta, ki pritegne ogromno občinstva od nostalgičnih upokojencev do ekološko ozaveščenih najstnikov.
Opazovanje novega kmeta ni zgolj digitalni eskapizem za množice, saj naj bi dejansko vplival na porast turizma in tradicionalnih obrti v nekoč pozabljenih vaseh. Kot pri vseh algoritmih ima tudi novo kmečko gibanje svoje pasti. Bolj so podeželski vplivneži priljubljeni, več se nad njimi in njihovo, tako imenovano avtentičnostjo, izvaja pritisk.
Lokalne oblasti, ki v tovrstnih digitalnih vsebinah prepoznavajo gospodarski potencial, so kmečkim ustvarjalcem vsebin začele ponujati subvencije. Vladni uradniki izkoriščajo spletne platforme tudi za promocijo Kitajske in njenega prizadevanja za revitalizacijo podeželja med mednarodnimi občinstvi. Ne glede na to, da trend novih kmetov izpodbija mestno usmerjen narativ in zmanjšuje kulturni prepad, ki je dolgo ločeval kitajsko podeželje od mesta, pa to odpira pereča vprašanja, ali so te vsebine resnične, ali gre za del večje vladne kampanje za čiščenje podobe podeželja.
Sam tri u različitih država, kaj čukela miksam, kulturni kodova u srcu, Dalmacija, Ljubljana, Metelkova i ona dobra bečka škola stara, proletarska, hap file havara, uberal vojih kome, virahe na cipar, ke nisam ni sone, Ljubljana mi je všeć, ja zradi je mam, čutim se super fajn, kadar koli sam tam. Yeah, gdje god da odem ja, Moja istina, nije religija, niti teorija, krvi ni tlak, gdje god da odem ja, sa drugim spaja me, duša proletarska, moja istina, povijest je kasni borbi, to je moja Biblija, gdje god da odem ja, sa drugim spaja me, duša proletarska.
Drugačiji smo ja i ti, ali istu borbu vodimo svi. Po klasi smo svi mi. Bruda i švesteri. Gdje god da odem ja.
Gdje god da odem ja, sa svake strane granica, na sva tri jezika vidni pati klasa, proletarska radom, izrabljivana plaćom, ucjenjivana najamninom, ugrožena kreditom, zarobljena il kapitalu, nepotrebna, od njega isključena, u ljudski višak, pretvorena, gdje god da odem ja, ispod kože drugog, ista borba počiva.
Drugačiji smo ja i ti, ali istu borbu vodimo svi. Po klasi smo svi mi. Bruda i švesteri. Gdje god da odem ja. Drugačiji smo ja i ti.
Je po klasi
smo svi mi, bruda i švesteri. Gdje god da odem ja.
Ispod kože drugog, ista borba počiva.
Gnojimo v eter.
Eto nas nazaj. V današnjem srednjem delu daje Kilovo seme, pa z našim sogovornikom Žanom nekaj besed o internacionalnem kmečkem gibanju La Via Campesina. Ustanovljeno je bilo leta 1993 v mestu Mons v Belgiji in združuje 180 organizacij iz 81 držav. Na tem mestu mogoče še povejmo, da je ekipa Kiloga Semena enkrat že gostila člane La Via Campesina in sicer iz Avstrije. Intervju najdete v arhivu oddaj na spletni strani Radio Študent. Sedaj bomo preklopili na angleški jezik. Jean, hello, do we hear each other?
Yes, I can hear you.
Super. Hello, welcome to the radio show. Maybe for the beginning, tell us few facts about La Via Campesina, history, maybe also what are the processes and needs that actually that formed La Via Campesina.
Yes, for sure. So first, thank you very much for inviting me to this radio event. I'm a member of La Via Campesina. So La Via Campesina is an international movement of small-scale and medium-scale farmers. But we also have indigenous groups, fishermen, and other people living in rural areas. The movement was created in 1993. At the beginning, it was kind of a union between farmers' movement in Europe and farmers' movement in South America. So these two blocks kind of decided to work together. And it was a direct reaction to the globalization process of the economy with the creation of the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the IMF, etc., etc. And so Via Campesina was kind of at the beginning created somehow to propose an alternative path for globalization, proposing another way forward instead of this neoliberal agenda. And then slowly the movement grew. We had members coming then from other continents, from Africa, from Asia, from the Caribbean. And today, La Via Campesina is maybe one of the biggest social movements on the planet because we have more than 200 million members on 5 continents. And we are basically organized in 10 regions, one of them being Europe, so that's my region. And then all these regions work together on our common agenda, which is still today to propose another way forward for the planet, basically, and for the people living in rural areas.
Okay.
And the core message we have is food sovereignty.
Great, thank you so much for this presentation. Could you, since it's such a wide movement and so influential, could you maybe tell us what are the main principles of these very different initiatives and movements that are part of Via Campesina, and maybe something about how do you actually make decisions? How is it possible to organize in such a wide movement?
Yes, that's a very good question. And it's even more difficult because we work in a logic of consensus. So that means we don't vote. We don't have a system of majority vote system, but we actually work on consensus, meaning we need to all agree on something before we can start working on the topic. So obviously that's really long. But at the same time, because it's so horizontal and so democratic in a way, it's also very powerful that when the decision is taken, everybody really aligns to that decision and everybody can work together. So it's really simple. Basically, we think that each member organization of Via Campesina can basically have an idea or on any topic. So usually we have a movement of top-down and down-to-top, both ways. It means some organization can propose ideas or campaigns or things they want to do, and then it will be proposed to Via Campesina International, and if other organizations agree, then we can go on that direction. And this is made through, I was talking about the region. We have 10 regions of Via Campesina, so Europe is one of them, but we also have South America, the Caribbean region, North America, East Asia, East Africa, Maghreb, etc., etc. And so basically each region is having a regional office. In our case, our regional office is in Brussels, in Belgium. And basically, these regional offices are the one coordinating the movement globally. It means that when Via Campesina needs to do something, these regional secretariat will consult with the members, so the organizations, and then they will make feedbacks to the international body. So it's always through the regions that the decisions are taken.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Maybe it's not like common, but I think it has some meaning and some power. And maybe now to say some words about how Via Campesina is opened towards other autonomous movements. How do you ally with some other groups, and maybe when you as a farmer show solidarity to other people in different struggles?
Yes, for sure. So I think the solidarity is really a core element of Via Campesina. I think really the organization was created at the beginning for solidarity. As I said, it was to fight against the WTO and the globalization process, but it was really a north-south solidarity process where we were basically saying that, for example, free trade agreements were having very bad impact both on small and medium-scale farmers in the global south and in the global north. And so the idea was to work in solidarity on all the planet to protect our rights as small-scale and medium-scale farmers, and also, as I said, indigenous groups, people working in rural areas, migrant workers, etc., etc. And so the idea of that is that when one of our member organizations is in a difficult situation, they can ask for international support. So, for example, at the moment, we have a big campaign to support Palestine in their struggle in the current genocide, the situation in Israel and Palestine. And so we're working a lot to support Palestinian people on a political point of view, but also on a more practical point of view. And it can be, we also work with Haiti. At the moment, the situation in Haiti is also very tense. We were also working in Sudan at some point. We've been working in a lot of different countries when basically there is war or a situation that is politically dangerous. Then we always try with the movement to influence the situation politically to help the people on the ground. That's always our core principle. We always fight anything that happens is not affecting local people and farmers. And then on that, we have a lot of allies indeed. At the global level, we have a forum called Nyeleni. So the Nyeleni Forum was created in Africa in 2007. And this is basically a space, Nyeleni, where we engage with our allies. So it means that in this Nyeleni process, we have other organizations from different sectors. We have students, we have people working as in medicine and doctors, in education, in culture. We have indigenous groups, we have fishermen people, we have a lot of different organizations. And this Nyeleni Forum is the place where we connect all together. And by the way, I want to say that's really important. This year, next year, I mean 2025, in September, we will have an international Nyeleni gathering meeting in India. And so this is where basically we will meet our allies and try to define together some strategies for the coming years.
Thank you. It really sounds as a very lively situation that's all the time evolving. But you already mentioned before that food sovereignty is actually one of the main goals of the movement. And I would like to ask you, what does that mean for you? Which levels or strategies does it involve? What does it embrace?
Yes, so that was really the principle of Via Campesina. When La Via was created, as I said, in 93, we were fighting against WTO and globalization. But we also wanted to propose something, because it was a classic critique, mainstream critique of people saying that we cannot only critique or denounce the globalization, but we also need to propose something else. So this is why Via Campesina worked a lot internally and came up a few years later with that idea of food sovereignty. That, just to say, now it's been recuperated. We have a lot of people trying to take food sovereignty to their advantage, especially groups from extreme right or fascist group, because they kind of mix our idea of food sovereignty with their idea of a more food sovereignty in a nationalist point of view. But our definition of food sovereignty is not nationalist at all. In the opposite, it's completely global and in solidarity. And it's the idea that each people, and by people we mean it can be a country, but it can also be a region, it can be a community, it can be a village, anything. Each group of people should be able to define their own alimentation, their own food system, meaning they have to choose what kind of crops they want to grow, what kind of seeds they want to use, how they want to use natural resources, forest, water, etc., how they want to use the land and to share the land between the people working on the land, and all that to have a food system that is good, healthy, sustainable, and adapted to the local context. So that is what we call food sovereignty, which is really different from food security. That is a definition from the UN. Food security is just about quantity. It means we have such number of people in a country, so we need this quantity of food to feed the people. But that's just numbers, and it doesn't include all the other values that are beyond food. So in our concept of food sovereignty, we talk obviously about the quantity. We need enough food for people to live, but we also need this food to be healthy, sustainable, and culturally adapted to the people. So this is why our definition is really wider. And this is why we also work with other groups of people, not only farmers. Because when we talk about food systems, we also have to talk with nutritionists, with citizens, with children, with anybody that is actually involved in the food system. So that is why we work on a wider point of view to achieve this. And how do we achieve this? Well, basically, we think in Via Campesina that we need public regulation, and we need to fight against the WTO and globalization. And we need countries and regions to be able to set public policies to help and protect their food systems.
Yes. Now we are coming to an end of the interview. So maybe for the end, if you could tell us some things about current struggles, actions and campaigns that are going on or are put it in focus, and maybe also some informations if some listeners now are interested to know some other things and how to involve in La Via Campesina.
Yes, sure. So we have a lot of different campaigns at the moment. If people are interested, they can just go on the website. So there is the La Via Campesina international website, and also we have the regional, so in our case, again, that's Europe. We have the European office of Via Campesina based in Brussels, and this one is called European Coordination of Via Campesina. And also we have a website there with a lot of information about what we are doing at the moment. Just maybe take one example. One of the main achievements of Via Campesina in the past decade was the UNDROP. So the UNDROP is the United Nations Declaration on the Right of Peasants and People Living in Rural Areas. So that was voted in the UN Assembly in 2018. And it's basically a declaration that was created by La Via Campesina with allies. And it's an international declaration, so a little bit like the International Declaration on the Right of Indigenous People or the International Declaration on the Right of Children, Women, etc. So it's an international declaration to recognize the fact that farmers, peasants, and people living in rural areas face a lot of problems. They are really often poorer than the people living in cities. They face hunger, they face violence and war, they face the climate change more strongly. And so we need to protect these people specifically. We need to help people living in rural areas to reach the basic needs they have, so food, education, health, etc. So this is why this declaration was created, and we won. It was accepted in the UN. Some countries voted against, like United States, Israel, etc. But most countries from the Global South voted in favor. And so now we are fighting to have this declaration being implemented in a very concrete way in the different countries to protect the farmers and the peasants. And maybe the last remark I can do is at the moment we don't have any organization from Slovenia in La Via Campesina. So if among the people listening to us, some people know about farmer organization or organization of people living in rural and working in rural areas, we would be really happy to have also member organization from Slovenia.
Thank you so much for all this information. It's really impressive that after a couple of decades, Via Campesina is still looking for another way forward on so many different levels, and I think it's really inspiring. And we're very grateful for this interview. And since we just, I think, scratched the surface, I hope we will stay in contact in future because it's so many things to discuss still. Maybe also through some peasant organizations from Slovenia. So thank you very much.
That was amazing. Thank you.
Goodbye, Jean. Mi pa gremo naprej z glasbo.
De lucha unidos contra el saqueo imperialista, rendirnos jamás. Somos la Vía Campesina anticapitalista, somos la Vía Campesina antiimperialista, somos la Vía Campesina antipatriarcal. Largo caminar en amor, paz y solidaridad. Calizo. Por la vida, la tierra y el territorio, soberanía alimentaria ya. Con Oyala sembraremos el planeta, con agroecología al campo regresar. Y así de esta manera nuestro pueblo alimentar. Somos la Vía Campesina anticapitalista, somos la Vía Campesina antiimperialista, somos la Vía Campesina antipatriarcal. Largo caminar en amor, paz y solidaridad. Asalariados, reforma agraria integral y popular. Ahora sí, ya se nos llegó la hora de cambiar al mundo unipolar y construir una nueva sociedad. Porque si no movemos los de abajo, el capitalismo se va al carajo. Porque si no movemos los de abajo, el capitalismo se va al carajo. Porque si no movemos los de abajo, el capitalismo se va al carajo. Porque si no movemos los de abajo, el capitalismo se va al carajo. Porque si no movemos los de abajo, el capitalismo se va al carajo.
Globalicemos la lucha, globalicemos la esperanza. We'll be right back.
Kontrareport, tretji črn fest, radikalna veselica.
Radijski kolektiv Kilavega semena redno spremlja in se udeležuje aktivnosti Črnega trna, radikalne agrarne zveze. Tako se je tudi letos, konec avgusta, udeležil klasične tretje radikalne veselice. S festivalom želi Zveza Črn trn prispevati k kontrakulturi na podeželju in ojačati povezave med urbanimi antiavtoritarci s podeželskimi inicijativami.
Tridnevna veselica sicer menja lokacije in vsako leto gostuje pri drugi avtonomni inicijativi članici Črnega trna. Lansko leto je festival potekal na avstrijskem Štajerskem, tokrat ga je ponovno gostila inicijativa na tržaškem Kraškem robu, naslednje leto pa se bo po vse verjetnosti selil v Kapežniku na Vipavsko. Sam organiziran festival klasično sestoji iz debat na različne teme, večernega kontrakulturnega programa, praktične ali politične akcije, vmes pa se najde dovolj časa za sestanek zveze, mini izmenjave znanj in sproščeno druženje.
Prvi dan je festival potekal v znamenju spoznavnega večera med Črnim trnom in Tržaške zveze radikalnih kmetov Radiči domači, s čimer se nadaljuje sodelovanje, katerega zametki med drugim segajo tudi iz skupne debate na lanskoletnem balkanskem anarhističnem sejmu knjig v Ljubljani. Nekoliko mirnejši noči s francoskimi revolucionarnimi šansoni je sledil intenzivnejši dan z večjo udeležbo tako vaške, kakor tudi tržaške in pa ljubljanske scene.
Na debati posvečeni izmenjavi informacij o lokalnih okoljskih bojih so svojo situacijo predstavili predvsem gostujoči tovariši iz Romunije glede zlatokopa in divje sečnje gozdov. Tovarišija iz Pordenone je spregovorila o tamkajšnjem vojaškem vadbišču, ogromnem plivu vojske na naravo in korakih lokalcev proti militarizaciji njihovega okolja, medtem ko je tržaška ekipa naslovila škodljiv gentrifikacijski projekt postavitve gondole med Trstom in občinami.
Kmalu po debati je med 50 in 100 udeležencev zapeljala kontrakulturna razbijačina balkanskega delovskega trepa, queer palestinsko-izraelske upornice in tržaškega hardcore benda. Medtem pa je tovršija iz Grčije pozno v noč na žaru divje sukala ražniče in poskušala konkurirati lokalni inicijativi, specializirani za vegansko hrano.
Tretji dan radikalne veselice Črnega trna je minil v znamenju aktivizma. Že na debati prejšnjega dne se je odločilo, da se s protestno akcijo intervenira v občinah, kjer naj bi stala končna postaja sporne gentrifikacijske gondole, s čimer je radikalna agrarna zveza želela izraziti solidarnost z lokalnim bojem proti izgradnji tega uničujočega in predvsem nepotrebnega mega infrastrukturnega projekta. V ta namen se je napravil transparent, spisal komunike Črnega trna, to ni prihodnost, ki nas bo zapeljala, zatem pa se je karavana v mešanem desantu, peš z avtomobili in javnim prevozom, odpravila v mesto.
Kar je bilo na letošnjem festivalu Črnega trna še posebej poživljajoče, je bil presek različnih antiavtoritarnih sredin iz različnih mest, iz urbanega in ruralnega, ter iz teh in onih strani državnih meja. Tako, da bi bil verjetno lahko brez problema še eden od zaključkov srečanja tudi, meja mora pasti.
What do you want? When do you want it? How do you want it?
Pašo priporočamo.
Eko nas, tle smo zdaj na koncu daje. Imamo še, mislim, da dve najavi. Prva je jutri v placu ob 13. uri. Kompotova nekonferenca. Glavnem, to je kar cel dan se bo dogajalo. Mislim, da so trije paneli. Vsebino si malo pogledajte na spletni strani placa ali pa kompota. glavnem, dogajalo se bo do, mislim, da kar do večera, potem pa še večerja, večerno druženje, mogoče še mini feštica. Če koga zanima, pogledajte si na internetu.
Danes pa še vabljeni zvečer ob 8:00 v Infoshop na Infokafano o avtonomiji in migraciji, ki pa bo tokrat predstavljena s strani Ljudi na poti.
Tako da, evo, to je to. Čez 4 tedne se slišmo. Čauči.
Čau.
Thanks to today's mechanized farming, there's more time for the family to visit in the town nearby. Time for the boys and girls to meet friends for a swim before the pool closes for the winter. Time to shop for new clothes, to look at new equipment.
Kilavo seme!
Agroprogram
Radio Študent.